Good morning.
Good morning.
Thankful for the opportunity to be with you here this morning. I'd ask you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. Before we begin, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, we thank you for your many mercies towards us in Christ. Lord, bless us here as we've gathered together. Lord, set aside the thoughts and cares of this world. Lord, let us see more of our Savior. Let us see more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray your blessings, your continued care upon your people. Lord, we think especially of Todd and Lynn. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to bless and be with them. Now again, we pray you'd bless our Bible study here this morning. Grant us your presence. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here in Exodus 12, let's begin reading in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And the lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep, from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now the Lord had sent plague after plague upon the Egyptians. He turned the water into blood. He sent those frogs. The frogs were in the houses. They were in their beds. They were in their ovens. He sent lice and swarms of flies, that murrain, that plague upon the cattle and all those different beasts. He sent boils on the Egyptian and hail throughout the land of Egypt, locusts to the point the land was dark. But in all this, God's hand was upon his people. In the land of Goshen, there were no flies where the children of Israel were. When the cattle in Egypt died, we read of the cattle of the children of Israel, not one died. In Goshen, there was no hail. There was light in the houses. God put a difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel, his chosen people. Now look at Exodus 11, verse 1. Here the Lord speaks to Moses. He says, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, and afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. One more plague's coming. God's going to bring one more plague, and he said they're going to drive you out. You won't get out of there quick enough. And this brings us to the Passover lamb. And I tell you, this is of the Old Testament pictures, I believe this is probably one of my favorites, the Passover lamb. Years ago, I had a cassette player in my truck, and I had a cassette in there. It had two sides on it. One was the serpent lifted up. Henry, there was he preached the serpent lifted up, and the other was the Passover lamb. And I believe I played that until the tape broke. I had to take Scotch tape from time to time. Now, for you kids born after 2005, you ask somebody older in the room what a cassette tape is, okay, after the service. But the Passover lamb, and if the Lord will enable us to see it, it's a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in it we see, if he's pleased to reveal it, the whole doctrine of the gospel. We see it in the choice of the sacrifice. In John chapter 1:19, it said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We see the characteristics of the lamb. That lamb had to be perfect. That's what the scriptures declare. It has to be perfect to be accepted. That points to our Lord and Savior, Christ, who did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. We see the death of the lamb and the shedding of blood. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, look at verse 11, begin with verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes and the heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified through the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We see the eating of the lamb and resting by faith. Our Lord said in John 6, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. There's no life. We have no life apart from Christ. He said this, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And then last, we see the grand result of it. What was the grand result? The people were delivered, Almighty God was glorified. So quickly here this morning, for just a few minutes, let's look at a few of these parallels found here in the Old Testament between the Passover lamb and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Passover. Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. If you have Exodus 12, look at verse 5. Here we read, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now this lamb was to be a lamb without blemish, and specific instruction was given to that. You know, I can't help but think, if we were told, I'll speak of myself here, but if we were told to take a sacrifice, and we had a bunch of sheep out in the backyard, My guess is, I know speaking for myself, I'd probably find the oldest, weakest sheep, right? That's what we would are. But listen, that can't picture our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a lamb without blemish. This shows his absolute perfection. And listen, the sinlessness of our Lord and Savior. In Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted, as we. But listen, here's the difference. He was without sin. He's perfect. He's the spotless Lamb of God. To be our righteousness, the Lord must be perfect. And in order to atone for our sin, he must be sinless. And that's what pictures our Lord. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And again, we read that earlier. It must be over in Leviticus. It must be perfect. It must be perfect to be accepted. And that lamb was to be taken from the fold. He said there, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came and dwelt among us. He was born of a woman. He was the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham. He was made the seed of David according to the flesh. In Romans 1:3, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And as such, he can identify with his people. Consider this. Almighty God robed himself in human flesh. And listen, he hungered. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be thirsty, to be tired, to weep. All these things. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. Look again at Exodus 12:5. This lamb was to be a year old, and was to be killed. And our Lord was in his full strength of life when he was put to death. That lamb was to be roasted with fire. This is the manner of Christ's death. He was crucified. He endured the fire of God's wrath for his people. That lamb was to be roasted whole, complete, not a bone broken, the scriptures declare. In John 19:36, we read, these things were done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him was broken. It was the whole lamb. Think about the importance of that. It was the whole lamb, the entire lamb, the complete lamb, not a partial one. Not a partial one. And though man offers, we drove by I don't know how many buildings this morning, and I guarantee you what they're talking about is a partial Savior. A partial Savior will not do. One that does what he can and then leaves the rest up to man cannot save. We need a complete Savior. And that's what this typifies. We must have a complete Savior. What do the scriptures say? He by himself purged our sin. He did it. And we rest in him. And then listen, that blood was to be sprinkled upon the lintel and the side post. Two things here. First, that blood was shed. What do the scriptures declare? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And second, that blood was applied by faith. No salvation, no deliverance apart from God-given faith. We read this, without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible to please him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not have life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And that blood on the door was an outward confession of faith. God told him, he gave instruction. He said, you put that blood on the door, on the side post and on the lintel on the side post. And After that was done, they applied that blood, and they went in the house. They went in the house and shut the door. Resting. Not in how they had applied the blood. Not in what kind of brush they had used, or resting under the blood. Resting in God's promise that when he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll leap over your houses under the blood. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that time? And again, they put that blood on the door, and they're resting in God's promise. Peace, safety, rest, secure from the wrath and justice to come. And then the Israelites were told to eat the flesh of the lamb. By faith, we feed on Christ, believing Christ, receiving Christ. It's called eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Look, beginning with verse 55 of John 6. Our Lord said, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." Just as we need food to live. Here in probably about an hour and a half, you guys will be scrambling to find a place to eat. We've got to have food, don't we? We must have food to have life. If you don't have food, you can survive for a little bit, but eventually you're going to die. Listen, we have no life apart from Christ. We must have him. We must have him. Well, they were to eat of the lamb with unleavened bread. So we've been taught leaven's it's a type of evil. So they'd have unleavened bread. And those that come to Christ, listen, we come in truth and sincerity, hating evil and hypocrisy. And that lamb was to be eaten raw, not sodden at all with water. There was to be nothing added to it. I think Henry used to say they wouldn't make gravy. You weren't to make gravy with it, huh? We don't add anything. We don't add anything to it, right? Nothing added to this lamb. Nothing added to Christ. It's not Christ plus your morality. It's not Christ plus your works. It's not Christ plus anything. It's Christ and Christ alone. And we rest in him and him alone. And they were to eat it. It said, eat the Passover dressed and ready to leave Egypt. Ready to depart. This place is a temporary, this world, it's a temporary dwelling. Huh? They weren't looking back to Egypt. Not thinking about what they might have had. They were to eat and to be moving forward, ready to leave. And then last, look at the scripture. Listen to Exodus 12, verse 13. He says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." This is why it's called the Passover. The Lord, at the sight of that blood, the blood of the Lamb, that spotless Lamb, he said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And the Israelites, the children of Israel, were delivered. You see that? Not only did he pass over them, but he also delivered them. Huh? His judgment and wrath passes over because of the blood of Christ. And listen, and we're delivered. In Romans 8:1, we read this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation to those in Christ. God put a difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. You know, for the Egyptians, judgment and death. There was a cry that went out like never heard before, I'm sure. But for the children of Israel, there was mercy. There was. Can you imagine running into the bedroom, looking or the living room or wherever your children were sleeping? You just wanted to just grab a hold of them and see them, and there was life. But in Egypt, all nothing but tears. Not just in the houses, but in the barn and the servants, the firstborn. Wrath and judgment. And listen. Listen to this again. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, one more thing here. I want you to see look over at verse 26. Just looking at this. "It shall come to pass." God gave instruction. And listen here. He said, "It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads and they worshiped." As parents, I pray the Lord would enable us to encourage our children to ask. I've got a Sunday school class at home, and I tell you, I do miss them. I do miss them right now. But that's one thing that we encourage them. Ask. These things that are written in God's Word, ask. And I say that for our young ones and for all of us. How many times do we sometimes just kind of scratch our head? Ask. Turn to one more passage with me. Turn over to Deuteronomy 6. I don't want to get too far off on a rabbit trail here, but look at Deuteronomy 6. Look at verse 3. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And listen to what he says here. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Every time we have an opportunity to be in the service, every time we have an opportunity to worship, we need to be present. Obviously, there's things that happen that prevent that from time to time. But it's so important. It's so important that our children hear. It's important we hear this word. It's important that our children hear this word. But listen, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Listen to what he says here. "Teach them diligently unto thy children." Huh? Talk about them. When you sit in your house. Just when you're sitting in the house. You see that? When you walk by, maybe sit down for dinner or breakfast, supper, whatever it might be. And we give thanks unto God for that meal that he's provided and that roof over our head. All that he's blessed us, his people, with. He said when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way, that might be a short journey. That might just be a walk out in the yard. It might be a long journey. Oh, the beauty of God's creation. To draw attention to those things, to our children. He said when you lie down and when you rise up. When we lie down at night, who brought us through that day? And if he's pleased to bring us through the night, who delivered us through the night? He did, right? He did. May he cause us. May he be pleased to teach us, and may he be pleased to teach our children to seek to know more of these things, these great things written in his word. Listen, when we observe him, we don't observe the Passover, but when we observe the Lord's table, his table, his suffering, his death, his bloodshed, the scriptures say by his stripes we're healed. His special mercy. Consider that. We're just as deserving of death and condemnation as all of Egypt. But yet God's been pleased to be merciful to a people, to save a people, to call them unto himself and deliver them through the death of his son. Robert Hawker wrote this: how many times have we asked this question? Can you tell your children in the numberless instances, both in providence and grace, that the Lord has passed over you and your house? Well, that man of the Gadarenes, y'all remember that man of the Gadarenes? He was naked and he was running through the cemetery. Huh? He couldn't be bound with strong chains. And the Lord was pleased to heal him. Everybody else in that town wanted him out of there. But he was pleased to heal him. And he said, Lord, let me go with you. Remember that? What did the Lord tell him? He said, you go home. And you go tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. You know, if there's nothing else we can tell our children, we can tell them that, can't we? What great things the Lord has done for his people. Well, he smote the Egyptians. He delivered our houses. What was the difference? The blood of the Lamb. All right, may God be pleased to bless his word.